It's Helping Hand, weekly feature airing statewide HBR1 stations every Friday afternoon, part of our afternoon drive broadcast of All Things Considered, and then appearing online at hawaiipublicradio.org, where all of our Helping Hand segments and resources are archived. Each week, we try to put the spotlight on an organization, topic, or event in the community with Helping Hand that offers assistance to the disabled and others who are among the most vulnerable. Aloha, I'm Dave Lawrence. Thanks for joining us. This week, we are privileged to learn about the local nonprofit Alea Bridge. According to their website, Alea Bridge is an all-volunteer organization focused on outreach to the homeless and other at-risk populations here in the Aloha State. Topic of homelessness particularly critical now, as Hawaii has become internationally known as home to the single worst homelessness crisis anywhere in the United States per capita. And we're going to learn more about their invaluable mission with our guest, Phil Acosta, spokesperson for Alea Bridge. Welcome, Phil. Thank you so much for coming down here.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
It's a great pleasure to have you with us. And tell us a little bit about the organization. Undoubtedly, it could be new to folks, and with the crisis that we've got going on, quite an important thing to hear about.
Sure. So like you said, we're an all-volunteer nonprofit organization. We actually just started up in mid-January 2016, so we're just barely 6 months old. But since then, we've made some pretty good, significant contributions in the community. And so our current target is the homeless population out in Wahiawa. It is a growing population out there. In the last 3 years, it's nearly doubled. And so, it's a good thing that we're addressing that issue with the community. And so we started out as an inspiration from my brother. He's a retired HPD, 16 years, military veteran as well. And so the last few years that he spent out there in the District 2, patrolling between Mililani and North Shore. And so he came across a lot of the homeless folks in his capacity as a police officer. And so he found a need that he needed to, you know, do a little bit more beyond what he could do as a police officer. And so he decided to retire from the force and pursue this full time as a volunteer. And, he's brought on some of our family members and our friends to help out with the cause.
And so how do you guys get your funding for the organization?
Right now, we're, like I said, all volunteer. Everything's out of pocket. We've had a few small donations here and there from the public and some other private foundations as well. And so we have several fundraising opportunities that we're looking at. We had a small fundraising in May, and we have an upcoming one in the end of July, which is going to be a community food drive and a food truck rally. So, at that event, we invite the community to come down, donate some non-perishable items. Also, we're inviting our houseless neighbors to come and participate in the event. We'll have a donate a meal program so that they can come and participate and partake in the event. We'll have entertainment, lots of food and prizes, and, mostly to raise awareness and also at the same time raise some funds for us so we can continue the good work that we're trying to do in the community.
What's the date of that, Phil?
July 30.
And it's the location? It's
going to be on the lower end of California Avenue, fronting Ka'ala Elementary, from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Fantastic. That's a great thing that you guys are doing. And your website notes a variety of areas of service, and I just wanted to explore some of those with you, starting with community outreach.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, the reason why we say we focus on community outreach rather than just homeless outreach is we do want to engage our houseless neighbors, and we want to provide services and assistance for them, whatever that may be. But also we want to engage the organizations, the individuals in the community, because there's a lot of interest in there. Like you said, we've got a crisis on our hands in Hawaii as far as per capita highest rate for homelessness. And so there's a lot of interest in out there, but folks just don't know how to reach out. The folks don't know how to provide assistance. And so we reach out to church groups, other nonprofits, business organizations. And so one of the events that we're helping to coordinate is a community cleanup. And so we've got over a dozen organizations within the community and folks from outside as well that are pitching in, as well as our houseless neighbors. So we're targeting two of the larger encampments in Wahiawa, And so we're going to do a cleanup, and I've actually been doing a lot of prep work in the past few weeks. So to clean that up, revitalize the area, improve access to the lake area, and, you know, address the concerns not only of health and cleanliness for the houseless folks that are currently living out there, but also to address the needs of the community who wants to revitalize and reuse that area.
Makes a lot of sense. You're engaging the folks who are in that specific area as well. It also sort of makes, with such a huge problem, I think it makes even more sense that you're targeting one specific area, because the thing is overwhelming. It's kind of like rhinoceros poaching. You can't just deal with one aspect of it. You need to try to re-educate the people who are trying to use the horn for something. They think it has medicinal value. It doesn't. You need to try to move rhinos. You need to try to protect them. So you're doing the similar thing with homelessness.
Right.
You're coming into one specific area because it's so large. It's the kind of thing. It's so large. Not one group could really tackle it all. We're talking about an entire state where there's other islands that have unique encampments. And then right here, in the mother lode of the problem, there are just encampments all over the island of Oahu. Mm-hmm. So you're targeting a very specific area. And as we noted with the community outreach, trying to engage folks in that community to have them become part of your effort, which is, to me, it sounds like a good strategy. Another area of service, the battle to help those facing homelessness or at risk of becoming homeless, you try to assist in job placement, I noticed.
Yes. So, you know, we've had other folks that reach out to us as well that are not currently homeless, but they're certainly one paycheck or maybe even closer to being homeless themselves. So we try to hook them up with the services and the benefits that are out there that are available to them that they may not know of or they don't have access to. So one in particular, we had a single mother that reached out to us. She's got a young child, so she needed some assistance in finding childcare so that she can continue with her pursuing her education, and then from there transition to a full-time job that can sustain her. And so we're trying to help her out and identify those organizations out there in the community that are already providing those services and do a warm handoff. So that is one of the focus areas for our organizations. We don't necessarily want to reinvent everything, because we know there's a lot of folks out there that are already doing really good work.
You're trying to help link people to them.
Exactly. So true to the name of the organization, being a bridge between the folks that need the help and those folks that are willing to provide the assistance. So in that sense, you know, we want to link them up and we want to be the bridge to those resources that they need.
And I know for a long time, as the homelessness epidemic grew, those organizations were all sort of in their own separate camps. And just from talking with Waikiki Drop-In Clinic, I've learned, you know, and from Mental Health Kokua, everybody, I guess that Partners in Care, are you guys part of that now?
We certainly are. So Partners in Care, that's the, for those folks that are not aware of what that is, it's a continuum of care for the island of Oahu. There is a equivalent in the neighbor islands called Bridging the Gap. And so essentially, you know, instead of all these service providers kind of doing their own, everybody getting together and saying, you know, what are you, Agency A, doing, and how can you, Agency B, work together, collaborate? Let's provide better coverage for this area. Let's focus on certain services and kind of pool our resources together. And, you know, through the collective effort, we're hoping we can be a lot more efficient, provide better coverage. And so that's another focus area that we want, our organization is focused on, is linking up with those folks that are already out there providing services. But unfortunately, geographically, because Waihe was kind of far removed out there and a lot of the focus is in urban Honolulu, they're not able to provide, you know, regular services out in the community. So we want to kind of augment them and be a partner service provider.
Covering an area that's not always getting hit. No, that makes sense.
And so that's, you know, in large, that's the collective effort of Partners in Care, is better coordination statewide.
And it seems to, it makes a difference. And that's precisely the way that the Waikiki Health folks were talking about doing that. And when they find a situation, they try to bring everybody to the table and then figure out who can best handle that situation, which is a good approach. And like you pointed out, your community in particular in Wahiawa, having those issues of, there's so many isolated communities. And you mentioned it, but just to hear a little bit more about it, kind of paint a picture for folks about that. You said there were a couple encampments. Describe like how big they are, where they are, you know, if for, you know, do a visual for us since it's radio.
Sure. Sure. So Wahiawa is, it's kind of unique. It's a, if you've ever driven through Wahiawa, you know, it takes you no more than 5 minutes to drive through the town and you're out, but it's surrounded by the lake. And so there are quite a few encampments that are in and around the lake areas. There's one near Wilson Bridge. There's two near the other end of town, Carson Thought, and then a two more significant size near Whitmore Village, and some that are dispersed throughout Wahiawa Town.
How big is significant size?
Encampments range anywhere from 20 individuals to 50. All in all, we've estimated approximately 200 folks that are in that small town. It doesn't seem like much, but considering it is a small town, 200 is a considerable amount of homeless folks, and a lot of them are local to the area. Just at some point, some unfortunate life events led to them being homeless.
When you talk about at risk, that's a very good point, that it's a lot of folks are just a paycheck or two away from it happening. And also, what you're sort of alluding to, but I can add to, a catastrophe in one's life, a medical emergency, huge
sure.
bills, something like that piles up. It can drain someone's resources, and the next thing they know, mm-hmm. they're facing this.
Exactly. And then, yeah, there's other folks out there, too, that are faced with mental illness, substance abuse. And so, you know, a lot of those things, we do need to work together. We don't have the resources and the manpower to provide all those different services. And that's why it's really important that we collaborate with the other service providers out there and partners in care, those that are maybe focused on
mental health,
Mental Health Kukua,
right.
or Kalihi Palama, who may be out there doing you know, medical services to the folks.
So it's sort of assessing an individual's needs
exactly.
and saying,
yeah.
this person has a mental health crisis, we're going to reach out to the people mm-hmm. who handle that best. This person has family on board with minor children, we're going to reach out to an aspect of care mm-hmm. that deals with that. How many, on that note, are there a lot of kids? Is there
out in Wahiawa, there is not a significant amount of children. There are some families, and when I say families, mostly adults.
Okay.
So boyfriend and girlfriend, mother, son, but adults.
Okay.
There's maybe two or three families that may be living in their car that we've reached out to, but not a lot of school-age children, a lot of minors. We have found some in the Mililani and North Shore areas. There is a little bit more
kids.
Some with kids, some that are minors, but mostly out in Wahiawa, it's individuals
and
adults, yes.
More of an adult population. And certainly it's always tough when you see the children who are facing this. And turning, as we've painted a picture of the way you guys are trying to tackle it, a lot of people are interested in helping out. A lot of people come forward with volunteer time, People come forward with volunteer time. People come forward. Clearly, donations are a big part of this. And people can donate supplies, too. When we think of critical areas that the people listening could help out with, whether it's donations, whether it's volunteering in different capacities, which I hope you'll illustrate for us, maybe it's specific skills that you need, vehicle, space to operate out of, people in the community who... maybe could offer rental properties to those who are ready to move out of it. The floor is yours. What are the ways that people listening can try to assist the organization and those in need?
All of the above. So, you know, there's so many different needs, and it varies with the individual. Just the circumstances on why they've become homeless and why they continue to be homeless. And so their needs are different. Some folks are really basic. They may need transportation or ID assistance so that they can get hooked up with the services that are out there. But some folks, they do need a little bit more services, whether it's housing or whatever it may be. But definitely volunteers going out there. I think that's a big part that it's missing in the outreach piece is that community support. Because a lot of times, it's the infrequency of the outreach folks just kind of out there doing their encounters. with the homeless folks. So they'll cycle back into their habits, and then they'll fall back in. You know, it gets a little bit harder each time to pull them out. And so, you know, we're continually going out there trying to encourage folks to come and join us in our outreach efforts, whether they have case management or any experience dealing with the homeless. You know, just that encounter with those individuals that need the support, that's a lot of help for the organization.
So number one call, I'm reading into this, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, and it's a great way for people who are passionate about this, who have any kind of time on their hand. You're looking for people to become volunteers to help with the organization,
yes,
to go out and do some of the outreach and help. Are you creating a database of who was out there?
As far as the homeless population?
Yes.
We are. There is actually a central report that's compiled by the state, but we are also compiling our own census to figure out who is out there and what their needs are, specifically for the Wahiawa community. So we are doing that,
okay,
and we'll share that with other organizations as well. But, you know, it can be difficult providing coverage. And it's not a once a week or once a month thing. It needs to be an everyday thing.
Right.
And so the more folks that we can get out there that are actively engaging them, that increases our chances of, you know, being successful in working with them and coming up with longer term goals and, you know, getting them out of their current situation into a more permanent, secure situation.
So folks who can both go out in the field and
most definitely
and work with you to engage people. Do you need people who have clerical data entry skills? Is there like office work of any kind to be done? Are there any other specific volunteer skills or certain skills you need? And are there any supplies that come to mind, like we really could use this, or you know, are you providing donated material to people, like blankets, clothing, food? So any of those things, let's paint a picture for how people could assist you on that.
Sure. So we've had a few folks actually reach out to us as well. There is a data entry aspect to that because, you know, like you said, keeping accurate data and plugging it into that database, that's really that's important. And so we want to make sure we're tracking them,
right,
and documenting the encounters out there. So definitely folks that can provide support in the office, folks that can provide support out there while we're out in the field. And at the same time, we continuously get inquiries from the community on, you know, oh, I'm moving, I've got a bunch of clothes, I've got some materials at home, some shoes, water, whatever it may be, you know, real basic things that we don't even think about. Definitely not anything like household or electronic items, nothing like that, but real basic stuff.
The essentials.
Yeah, like water, first aid kit.
Toothpaste.
Toothpaste, personal hygiene.
Correct.
Products. And we do encourage, well, we do welcome those types of donations as well as, you know, feeding the homeless. We do welcome that, you know, folks want to donate that and volunteer. But also at the same time, we want to be mindful of kind of treading lightly on whether we're empowering them or we're
you don't want to prolong it.
Enabling them,
right,
from, because if we provide them enough assistance that they become complacent,
right,
then we haven't done our job.
Yeah, you want to get people moved on is,
yes,
really the goal, and not,
yes,
become dependent on the handouts from the,
yes,
organization.
Exactly. So those emergency services, although they're very important, those emergency needs, immediate needs that they have, we do want to address that. But at the same time, we want to focus on, you know, I want to get in front of you on a regular basis and say, how are you doing today, Dave? You know, how's it been the past few weeks? You know,
and set some goals for folks.
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
And that's part of the community engagement, as
exactly,
we talked about earlier,
yes,
with helping people get jobs. Also, on that note, people in that geographical area who may be listening and saying, well, I could use some part-time help with certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a way that you could, in that goal of moving people on, and that creates, as you said, you want the services that you supply to be emergency services so then people can move out of that and not need it. If anyone has opportunities for employment, would you also like to hear from them?
Oh, most definitely. So we are working with, you know, exploring possibilities with several employers that actually have approached us about that. You know, because that is one of the things that will be needed to transition out of homelessness, right? Is you need to be able to sustain yourself in the long run. The subsidies and, you know, rental assistance or housing vouchers, they've got an expiration date.
Right.
There's a certain amount of resources that's available to you. At some point, you need to be able to pick yourself up.
Correct.
And so that employment aspect of it, employment readiness even, you know, we're working on several organizations in the community to help us, you know, explore possibilities for that. And so if there's any listeners out there that are, you know, that's in your wheelhouse and, you know, you've got some experience in providing that kind of training or services or even opportunities for the folks out there, definitely something that's going to be useful as part of their mid and long-term goals to eventually get them self-sustaining.
Yeah, that's so we've put out a call for a lot of things. And clearly, you guys, when you go out, before I give your contact info, just to make it clear, you'll when people donate hygiene items, blankets, shoes, that sort of thing, when you're going to do the outreach, you are case by case dealing with who's in the most crisis and then trying to provide those things
exactly
to them.
Exactly, yes.
That's fantastic. And again, they're working as members of the coalition, Partners in Care, that is... we've had a lot of folks from that on, and we continue to because the crisis is so huge. It's now become international news, and it's being reported all over the world. Despite that, for some reason, the state is still getting an enormous amount of visitors, but that may not hold on for long if the crisis continues to become such a story that people associate this, what is a vacation destination for the rest of the world, with something that's got a really unpleasant problem. And so your approach really is tackling it in a community like that makes a lot of sense, because that seems to be, it's such a big thing. Everyone has to take a bite out of it.
Right.
You can't eat the whole, you know, deal with it in one giant thing. Before I give your contact info, other things that you want to get out there or address?
Sure. We've actually put together a homeless alliance in the community, Wahio Homeless Alliance, and we've got about a dozen organizations that are contributing to that. And so that's hopefully something that we can take the lessons learned from what we've done there and apply that to other areas in the state that may be able to take a similar approach. Like you said, you know, the problem is so big, one agency or maybe just even a handful of agencies, that's not enough to tackle that. So collaboratively, we can pool our efforts together. And so, you know, that's one thing that we're really proud of, and that in that community, they've actually come together and, you know, everybody's pulling in and kind of pitching in and doing their part.
Without that, there's no way it's going to get solved, because as you pointed out, it is just too big at this point to be dealt with by one agency, and it needs a huge approach from so many different folks. And clearly in the Wahiawa area, if you're part of that community or nearby, this is a great way to get involved, and we've given you a few different ways to think about helping them out. AleaBridge.org is their website, AleaBridge.org. There's an email contact form online at the website if you have particular services, particular items that you wanted to donate, if you want to be a volunteer, join them in the outreach efforts. As Phil also noted, they need help in the office, too. They need help entering the database, keeping track of folks. If you have any of those skills, certainly you can reach out to them there, or you can also find them on Facebook to learn more about their mission. At their website, there are a variety of numbers. You can reach Phil directly at 808-391-3571, and that is also pacosta@aleabridge.org, pacosta@aleabridge.org. Best of all, for everyone listening on the road or in an inconvenient location, at hawaiipublicradio.org. We've got all their contact information waiting for you, the radio feature, the full interview, and all of our other Helping Hand guests archived at hawaiipublicradio.org. The event is July 30th, California Ave, 4 to 8 p.m. is going to be happening, and it is Phil Acosta, spokesperson for Alea Bridge, obviously wishing you a lot of success with that. The door is open, my friend. I hope that you'll come back and be on Helping Hand down the road. And if there's a crisis or a particular need or emergency that develops, That's what the feature is here to try to help you get the word out and on behalf of all the folks that you're trying to help in what has become an enormous and heartbreaking crisis at times. Thanks for doing what you're doing, and thanks for being our guest today.
Thanks, Dave.